meeting is being recorded.
This meeting is being recorded, and this is this is more than a meeting. This is the MT for Christ 24/7 podcast. I'm MT Clark, and this little program that we do once a week is a Bible study with the Cincottis. We're joined today by Arthur and Susanna Cincotti, as well as my lovely wife, Tammy Lynn Clark. And today's topic, as I peeked, is waiting well. And so good morning, everyone.
Welcome to the waiting well.
Actually, when I slipped in here last night to say goodnight to him, you know, he's got it on the screen. I'm trying really hard not to see it. I'm not looking. Mm. And I kind of got a glance at it and thought, wishing well?
Right.
What on earth is Arthur going to do tomorrow?
I didn't misspell it, did I?
No, you spelled it correctly. No, I just gestalted. So wow. Wishing instead of waiting.
Yeah.
Because I'm not very good at waiting.
Right.
And it's funny because the last couple of weeks I've been gone. I went down to Texas to visit with my mom, who's 90, and she's the precious. She's doing very well. But she doesn't wait well anymore.
It's generic.
I don't know.
Genetic.
Yeah, however, genetic. She used to sing us the song that she, when I sang it to her, she said, oh, we learned that in vacation Bible school about waiting.
Mm.
And I used to threaten my children, if you don't settle down and relax, and then we have to wait, I'll sing the song. And they'd say, oh, Mom, don't sing the song. Don't
not
sing
that
the song.
Song.
Not that song.
Mm.
So I mean, maybe I'll wait until the end. I'll wait until the end, and you guys will have to wait until the end, and then maybe I'll have enough voice to sing
okay.
The song.
Okay, we'll look forward to that.
Well, Father, we wait upon you this morning, Lord God. We know that your arm is not too short. You are anxious to engage with us and to fellowship with us, Lord God. And on our part, Lord, it's our intent to likewise engage with you, to hear your voice, to enjoy your presence, and to bask in its glory, the glory of your presence here, Lord God, as you answer the difficult questions of life on our behalf, as you lead us in the paths of righteousness, as you reveal your majesty to us, Lord God. We are awestruck and in wonder, and we thank you for that. We praise you and ask for your blessing over our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So here we are. We are at the waiting well, and as so many scriptures on the topic, the subject of waiting upon the Lord, I selected Isaiah 40:31, which is a very familiar scripture to most people, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles.
Mm.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Mm. And it occurred to me that at any given time in the course of our lives, we are without a doubt waiting for something. You know, I was trying to be funny earlier before we recorded, baiting Mark to say, well, yeah, no, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting to get started. I'm waiting for you to power up the podcast.
Mm.
We're constantly waiting for something. It's just, it's part of our humanity. It's part of this dispensation of the fall. Some people put it as if to say when Adam fell, the clock started ticking.
Mm.
You know, time began. A corruption was a consequence of that.
Yeah. And
there was no such thing as corruption in the garden, in God's perfect creation. And it's difficult to speculate whether man likewise lived outside of time in the same capacity that God does. You know, we see some timelines in the garden experience, but corruption certainly wasn't part of that that issue and that dispensation. And now it is. It certainly
now
is.
It is. Now
and,
it is.
You know, I'm just waiting to grow old here, and I'm watching it happen.
Well,
My neck knows about that.
Well, we often hear about people saying, you know, all I did was hurry up so that I can wait.
Yeah,
you know, people want to be on time. I personally do not like to be late. Mm-hmm. I like to be either early or right on time. But then, I mean, how many times have you gone to the doctor's office and your appointment is at 9:45, so you get there at 9:30, thinking, okay, I'll fill out whatever forms, and then my appointment will be at 9:45, but then you sit in the waiting room, and you wait until it's your turn. So, you know, it's hard. People don't like waiting.
Yeah. So I made a short list here of just some typical things that we wait for. It could be as mundane or trivial as just waiting in traffic. We were in Boston earlier this week, and oh my goodness, this is going to be the traffic capital of the East Coast.
No. It's the construction road. Let's tear up every road in Boston and then expect people to travel on it.
Yeah, Boston will be a great city if they ever finish building it somehow. They just be going on and on and on for all eternity. So, boy, we hit some. And likewise, I'm one of those people that would rather drive 50 miles out of the way than to wait in traffic.
Yeah.
Just stand there and wait. Mm-hmm. So we saw on the GPS some of the red and orange, you know, colorations that we were going to hit highway traffic. And I opened up my map as Susanna. I was a navigator co-pilot there, and Susanna was driving. And I took us down some back roads through some sketchy neighborhoods, as a matter of fact.
But
I took us down some back roads.
Yeah, no traffic down there.
No. Well, exactly. There you go. No traffic.
Very interesting.
But so that's, you know, it could be as small or waiting in the store, waiting for a meal, especially when the steak is sizzling on the grill and your taste buds are just dripping. Waiting for an event to start, like a ball game or a show. You wait for and then you're into it, and then it's over. You know, we're essentially waiting for it to be over. It could be more pressing, like waiting for medical test results. That's fresh in our experience with Susanna's bout with thyroid cancer, which is healing beautifully, by the way. Waiting to hear from a loved one in danger. You know, someone might have left the house and a thunderstorm has kicked in, or you heard some report on the radio. I love it. Most of our family lives a goodly distance away. So they hear about some thunderstorm or bad snowstorm or avalanche or something happens in New York, and they immediately call us. Are you guys okay? You know,
that way far away from us. Yeah.
Well, I'll give you one example. During the day, September 11th, we were waiting particularly to hear from Susanna's sister Laura, who was in Manhattan.
Yep.
She's at the time she was a makeup artist. She was actually at the World Trade Center that morning.
Was assigned to go there.
She was assigned to go there. It was a governor's something rally, and it got shifted to another location for whatever reason. In any event, she was scheduled to be there, and things changed. But the waiting to hear from her, of course. Those of us who remember back that far know that communications were down, and it was, in some cases, for some people, a long waiting game. And then if we'll remember the waiting game of people putting people's picture up around town, looking for loved ones, et cetera. Waiting can be very pressing and painful. Waiting for a trial or an illness to pass, I often say, quote, Pastor Finn, where he says that Satan can only come against us with circumstances, and circumstances are always subject to change. Mm-hmm. But oh, how long sometimes it takes for those circumstances to change. Mm-hmm. It seems like an eternity. Job only suffered, I think it's 3 months or 3 weeks. I think it was, I forget, Pastor Finn used to preach that all the time.
That's a good question. That's a good question. How long did Job suffer? As a Bible scholar, I have to do my research there.
But for the sufferer, 3 weeks seems like 3 months.
Or 3 years.
Or 3 years, yeah, indeed. It could even be global or more spiritual, waiting for the salvation of loved ones. I think that's something universal for all of us here at the table this morning and in the church. We're all praying and waiting for the light bulb to go on for so many of the people that we love and pray for, intently share the gospel with, look for opportunity. We're waiting for revival. We're praying for revival and waiting in the church for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like in Acts chapter 2, or in the many revivals that we've heard of through the years that have happened in the world, in our country, and in the world around us. And waiting for justice. I think of, I didn't quote it, but I think of the martyrs under the altar, you know, in the book of Revelations, crying out, how long, Lord, before we are vindicated, before there is justice on the earth. And that's a long wait. That's a long wait. Imagine just in the natural, waiting in the court for your case to be heard, waiting to see what the outcome is going to be. Is it going to be favorable or not favorable? So these are some of the dynamics of waiting. And these examples are expressions of waiting that are part of our human experience. A few months ago in our study on the subject of hope, we saw how hope is forward-looking, as is waiting typically. And we cited Romans 8:25 that says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Again, that folds in the relationship between waiting and hope, and demonstrating how it's part of our human experience. It's part of God's creative order. Again, under this dispensation. Ultimately, I think our waiting translates into waiting upon God. And God is the author and executor of the narrative. A couple of months ago, we talked about the narrative character of Scripture, how it is a narrative. And God is the author, and he's sovereign, and he lives outside of time, as we just pointed out, and he holds the future and our very existence in the palm of his hand. So much of our waiting is tied up with a longing to move from an uncomfortable state to a comfortable state. You know, nobody sitting by the pool is waiting to get to work on Monday morning, you know, waiting desperately, chomping at the bit, saying, I just can't wait to get jump into the pit and start digging tomorrow morning. Those are times when we wish that the clock would just stop and this, you know, more congenial experience would just last forever.
Right. When I was down visiting with mother, we got to about, went down Tuesday. So about Friday, mother's like, oh no, our time is almost over. I said, Mother, it's not. We've got, you know, four more days. We're good. We're just at the halfway point. She said, it seems like it's going too fast. And it does. Sometimes those happy times, those good times, those wonderful experiential times seem to go too fast.
Right.
And yet there was a portion of me thinking, because I was missing being home, missing being with Arthur, couldn't go with me this time. And so for me, there was a kind of this dichotomy of it's going too fast and yet it's going too slow. Very strange experience, this vacation time.
Yeah.
Right. So waiting is weird.
It is. Time is weird. That very example that you give of at times it seems to be going, it's malleable. It seems to be malleable at times. It's not. It's just constant. It's just like that. But at times it seems to be just dragging. Some comedian did a great piece about as a kid waiting, you know, for Christmas Eve. And then he and his brother would go to bed at like 6 o'clock, you know, and of course you can't sleep. Just knowing that, and he says the clock would just stop, in our verse, we see how there is a value and purpose in waiting. One might say that we should wait to wait, you know, we should just wait to wait upon the Lord, or we should actually ferret out and embrace waiting. It's not as terrible as we frame it to be. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that there's great value in waiting. I thought of some examples. There's some great examples of waiting in the scripture. And in John 11, 5 and 6, we see Jesus loved Martha and Mary, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed or waited 2 more days in the place where he was. And the word in the text is also translated abode or remain. Quick to point out that Mary and Martha were waiting too. You know, they were waiting for Jesus, and Jesus just kicked back and waited for 2 more days where he was. In another portion of scripture, Matthew 8, a centurion said to Jesus, "But only speak the word and my servant will be healed." Jesus did, and he was. So what was the purpose of waiting in John 11? Jesus could have just spoken the word there and Lazarus would have been healed. It was necessary for him to make the trip in order to heal Lazarus. He doesn't have to get the bottle of anointing oil or you know, make some gestures or moves over Lazarus or lay hands. Mm-hmm. Jesus can just say the word and we will be healed.
But you can see with your great big bold letters that God has purpose. Sometimes waiting has a purpose.
Yeah, it really does.
And ultimately that purpose is to glorify God.
Yeah, I think if we can find purpose in something, we can begin to embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's when, even when we see things like purposeless slaughter or bloodshed or purposeless warfare or purposeless anything that's bereft of purpose, it confuses us. It boggles the mind. We say to ourselves, like, you know, why did that have to happen? But God does nothing without purpose. His narrative is intricately woven and perfect in every way. I've heard somebody, I knew who said this first, but I remember somebody said, when you get to heaven, you'll look back on your life and say, I wouldn't have changed a single thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we see the perfection of every nuance, of every suffering, of every delay, of everything that seemed to go awry. And then, you know, we defect to all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But we don't always see the good. Yeah, maybe not even in our lifetime. We might not see the development or the outcropping of what we consider good. And that's another thing. There's a subjectivity there. Our sense of good versus God's perfect design and order. We immediately connect with Jesus. I skipped. So let's fold back to John 11. What are some things that we can draw out of that? Well, Mary and Martha were intimately connected with Jesus, where the centurion was just a passerby. One might think in opposite, that all the more reason for Jesus to heal Lazarus instantly,
right?
To swoop in quickly. But for some reason, such was not the case. Here is this casual acquaintance. Jesus heals his servant instantly. But yet Mary and Martha, who are known, are friends, far more intimately connected with Jesus and his inner circle, have to wait and go through that pressing period. We also know that his passion was close at hand. So the clock was ticking for Jesus. Jesus entered time and space. This is a very important part of the Christian equation here. He entered time. Jesus entered time as a baby, grew up to be a young man. Maybe his voice changed. Maybe all kinds of,
things happened.
Maybe he got a pimple. I don't know, somewhere along the way. But he entered time, and his assignment was coming to its ultimate crescendo. So his Passion Week was close at hand. So there was reason for, I'll say, more dramatic effect here. The Lazarus narrative is very well known. It followed him to Jerusalem. The scribes and the Pharisees heard of it, knew about Lazarus. So we're seeking to kill Lazarus, right? They were seeking to kill Lazarus as well. And there was a greater impact because of the weight. It was a far greater impact. The centurion got word that his servant was well, or turned around and went back to his duties and found his servant well when he got back there. The impact on Mary and Martha, and what we read in the narrative, their struggle with faith, that Jesus challenges. If you have faith, all things are possible. They say, I know our brother will live in the resurrection. Jesus is quick and able to point out, I am the resurrection.
Exactly.
So, as I said, God does nothing without purpose. We are intimately connected with God. Mm-hmm. We're God. Mm-hmm. We're his friends. We're his children. We're the apple of his eye. The focus of his attention, and if waiting is either a litmus test or part of that dispensation, then bring it on. If that's the gauge or the hallmark of being one of God's kids, waiting upon him, then bring it on. It's well worth it.
Now I think that these kinds of studies, when we look at these things, because I think everybody experiences this. Mark, you were waiting to meet Tammy Lynn, and Tammy Lynn was waiting to meet you.
Yeah, we remember that.
And there's the waiting time to determine when you're going to propose, and the waiting time to get married. I mean, it's just part of what we experience in life, and I think that studies like this help us to look back and say, okay, this waiting I can handle because God has something important coming. He's got a bigger impact in coming. How do you feel about that, Mark?
Amen. I love this study. I've been silent basically because I've just been loving everything Arthur's presented here. What a topic, and I love what he's drawn out, and trying to figure out the Lord is one of the hardest things to do, because as we look at the stories that are related in scripture and what happened, we wonder why. just the parallels you've drawn between the centurion. You know, he comes and says, "Oh, if you can, you know, heal, just say it, and it will be done." And it is, and so instantaneously, you have to go over there to do it. And with that miracle, people could go, "Oh yeah, sure. Oh yeah, he healed him. He wasn't even near him." You know, so that's, you know, it's talking about great faith to ask for it, great faith to receive it, and great faith to maintain that, yes, indeed, it was Jesus Christ who healed this person because he was nowhere near him. But we ask that he healed. That's one of those you have to believe this by faith, because there's no reason why when anyone else would go, "Oh no, he just got better." Like, what, are you kidding me? Jesus of Nazareth had nothing to do with it. So there's that. And then, you know, why do people have to suffer? And you know, when you think about this life as a disciple of Christ, you know, we're not exactly guaranteed an easy road.
Right.
Martha, Mary, can you imagine? They know the man who can heal disease, and they were desperate, you know, probably and waiting for him to come, and then he doesn't come. Lazarus dies, and they have to basically bury their brother, and then Jesus shows up. And even, you know, they love Jesus, you know, but they, you know, said, "Oh, if you were here, if only you had come sooner," you know.
Right.
Jesus is torn up, he cries, you know, so it wasn't, you know, this blasé, "Don't worry," you know, waiting. There was real human stuff going on there, you know, real suffering, real pain, real loss. And Jesus wasn't immune to it, even though he knew that he was doing this for God's glory. Why are we waiting? It'd be for God's glory. Bigger impact, you know, all the miracles that he's done, people, like I said, people could say, "Oh, sure, that's just acupressure. He pressed the guy's head and suddenly he could see." He said that guy was healed and he just happened to recover. You know, it was a bunch of, you know, he's a con man and a charlatan. These are all fake miracles. You can say that. And so, you know, with the raising of Lazarus from the dead, there's you know, talking about dramatic effect. He was dead. He was gone. And they made him wait in the tomb so long because of a Jewish tradition that they believe the soul stayed somewhere near the body for a while. And they elapsed that time. So there was like no doubt. Like, he was dead. And then raised. Sure. And so, and just all the stuff, just the stuff you brought up about, you know, just waiting through life. And, you know, there was so much in there. And in terms of, you know, this is not an easy walk as being a Christian, because we're not guaranteed an easy walk, and the things that happen in our life will be used to make us grow in our faith.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes, you know, those valley moments of being in this valley of the shadow of death, and those are when we grow the most in our faith, because we have nothing else but our faith. You know, we can sit and suffer in anguish, and, you know, the purposelessness of it. And he brought up, I mean, that's the most agonizing thing to go through, is when we see purposeless suffering. And this people saw, you know, that righteous indignation. We want to rise up and do something, because it isn't right that this is happening. We want to stop. We want to know that there's a purpose in it. And you know, on a larger scale, even though it's, you know, nearly impossible for us to discern it, you know, there is suffering in all of it, or there's purpose in all of it. You know, there's suffering in all of it. There's purpose in all of it. It's hard to understand. And after we get through the suffering, after we get through the loss, and we walk through it with the Lord, we can see the purpose and have peace. Regardless of those circumstances. And just a great study today.
Yeah, it's strikes me as, I didn't include this in the study, but we see in the book of Samuel and the engagement with King Saul, an example of not waiting, not waiting upon the Lord. Saul was about to go into battle. Samuel was expected. He's late. So Saul performs the sacrifice, which was not his right or order to do so.
That's right.
And he violates the word of God, and then just right after, how many times have you done something wrong, and then the next moment, you know, somebody walks in or something happens, and you say to yourself, if I had only waited, you know, in another 3 minutes. So we can, there's an interesting dynamic again in this our dispensation here, the fallenness and waiting upon God. There's it's an interesting dispensation where we can try to make something happen. We often put it this way, in the flesh. We will grow weary of waiting. We'll be tired of waiting, and we'll say, I'm going to make something happen. I'll give you an example, like, or in finances, oftentimes, we could wait upon the Lord, who supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory, or we could go get a loan. Right? You know, you can pick up a credit card. You know, I could wait upon the Lord for whatever it is, groceries, broken car, whatever the case happens to be, and let the Lord provide. It's oftentimes why perhaps in this culture we don't see the miraculous more readily, because we have developed means and methodologies in our culture to insulate us to such an extent. But of course, those are expensive means and methodologies that we don't have to wait upon God. I'll just go get my cookie now and be done, get it over with. I want my cookie and I want it now. I want to eat it too.
enough with the cookie.
So that's an example of not waiting upon the Lord, and trying to make something happen in the flesh. And of course, things in the flesh will burn up, are corrupt, and have no value. No flesh will glorify itself in the presence of God.
Another one that, when you were saying that, hon, made me think of when Abram and Sarah.
Oh yeah, that's another great.
Were supposed to have a son, you know, the promise, and they're getting tired of waiting.
Sure.
So finally, she says, "Just take Hagar. Just take my maid servant and make it." Well, what happens then? Not something so good.
And the descendant.
So out comes that.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So sometimes when we try to put it in our own hands, well, I'm just not going to wait for God. I'm just going to do it myself.
Right.
Can be pretty disastrous. So maybe we need to stop and just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait.
So back to Isaiah. Isaiah is prophesying judgment over the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, more forelooking. But in chapter 40, this beautiful reprieve happens in the text. It sort of breaks out, looking beyond God's temporal judgment towards the very events that we all long for and wait for, which is the culmination of all things, the coming of Christ, the reconciliation of mankind with God, both in Christ and his first coming and even in the last days. In the end times. So consider how God waits for us. Not subject to space or time, but yet God has decided, I mean, he could end all this thing right now. Poof, you know, just by the word of his mouth. In Isaiah 30:18, it says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, and that he may be gracious unto you." Andrew Murray, in his book, Waiting on God, writes of this verse, "If he waits for us, then we may be sure that we are more than welcome, that he rejoices to find those he has been seeking for." So there's a rejoicing in God when he finds us waiting patiently for him, like the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins.
That just wrecked me because I just thought of the Frey song, I found God, or God in, geez, what is it? Basically it's I found God waiting, you know, waiting on the corner of First and Amistad. And how it took so long for the Lord to show up in this guy's life. And
yeah,
we had to wait and,
suffer,
basically. And, he never left me no messages, you know, he never sent me no letters, you know. It's just this heartrending song about how the Lord found me. You found me, I think is the name of the song. And that's like this chorus reprieve. You found me, you found me. And it just shows that God was, you know, he was waiting for us. And you know, when our paths with him cross, it's you know, we think we're seeking for truth or whatever, but we're just stumbling around in the dark until we run into him, and it's all according to his timing and purpose. And right. You know, and we might reflect and go, why not sooner, why didn't right. it come sooner in my life? And like you said, we'll look back at our life and said, I would change nothing, because right. God's timing is perfect, even though yeah. it might not seem so. And that's I love that way Murray brought that out. It's like he's seeking us. He has yeah. been seeking for as we seek the Lord. He's waiting. He knows.
Yeah. Now we use it. Last week's study, Paul. At the Areopagus, right, speaking to the to the Greeks, to the Athenians, and he says that so for in him we live and move and have our being. He says so that they could seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So God is seeking us out, but he's here among us. It's not as though he's got a white cane and a German shepherd and he's looking for those. The scripture elsewhere says the eyes of the Lord search to and fro for those who are sold out to him. I'm paraphrasing. But he's not... He knows all things, but he's looking for that tender heart that is ready and willing to receive him. You know, there's a divine exchange there. There is a reciprocal kind of exchange and relationship going on in these situations.
And
consider how Jesus waited. Or God waited to send Jesus, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come,
I corrected that on the outline off the blog too.
God sent
the fish God or anything like that. And Dagon from the Philistines was a fish.
We're not talking about Nineveh.
No, God did not send forth his son. It was God.
In the fullness of time. Yeah. I've often wondered or contemplated. The answer is because of us, because of the elect. But so, like, why didn't God send Jesus, like, right after Adam fell? You know, let Cain crucify Jesus.
There's a lot of stuff in that book between him, between Adam's fall and Jesus showing up.
Cain's already got a bad attitude. He would have crucified Jesus in a minute, in a hot minute. Goodness, so, right? Why didn't he just do that and get on with things? But again, the narrative is forewritten. And it's because of on our behalf, we're conceived in the mind of God in eternity past. This is just something that boggles the imagination that we're not even going to get into theologically, because that would be a rabbit black hole. That would be not around the trail. It would be, because of us, you know, as it says in Hebrews in the Faith Hall of Fame chapter, sobering verse, a beautiful verse, but it says these had not. Let's see. Faith. They were for. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, etc. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Right.
These are, this Faith Hall of Fame are men and women who waited upon God, and in some cases didn't receive the promise because God had prepared something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
I think there's also the verse that says, you know, I'm waiting. People say, well, why hasn't God, Jesus, returned? He says that none should perish. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but to have that opportunity to accept him as Lord and Savior, to have that opportunity to become one of his children. That God, you know, God is waiting patiently for people who are still outside the faith. And we all have that experience. And I know that Mark and Tammy then are kind of excited because one of their children wants to go to church now. And so they've been waiting patiently for him to make that decision. Now he's made that decision.
Yeah.
That's exciting stuff. But we, you know, there is the contingency of people, you know, they've always, oh, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. And then they don't come back and then they commit suicide, kind of crazy stuff like that.
Yeah.
But God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants to give everyone a chance to make that profession of faith. And change and have their heart change from a stone to flesh and
indeed
and become one of his children.
Yeah. Jesus is waiting right now for his bride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a wait. We both, the four of us, think back on to wedding day and that the waiting aspects of the groom waiting patiently at the altar.
Patiently. You
know, with the best man, waiting patiently. All right.
I think of Molly and Jacob's wedding.
Oh, so beautiful.
And Jacob, and he's just like trembling. He's he's like so excited, and he's so waiting, and Molly hasn't come from around the corner yet. And he's just so, you can see it, the tension. And Pastor Chris looks over at him, and he smiles, and he says, just wait a minute. I see him say this to Jacob. Jacob goes,
take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath. Just wait a minute.
Yeah.
And then she shows up and he just like, woo! That's so sweet.
Mm.
So we understand if we take the time to put these things conceptually under the microscope and consider the dynamics of it, we understand that waiting builds our faith.
Mm.
No wait, you know, no wait, no faith, really. If God was just the slot machine, push button, or God, where I need a drink, God, I need a drink of water, I need this, give me, with no waiting period, where would our faith would atrophy? It would be like a muscle that was not used and would just grow dormant and without faith. You cannot please God. Back to Hebrews, right? Without faith, you cannot please God.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In the process, it develops our trust. You know, it's like the old trust game where we're trusting God to come through. Obviously, especially in the times of trial, when we wait upon him under the auspices of harsh circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And it tests our resolve to demonstrate both to us and to God, who knows all things, but certainly to us, just where our faith is. What's the condition of our faith? Are we going to be quick to push that flesh button, to defect to the flesh and to satisfy the need, whether it's through a credit card or through an addiction, you know, that brings great satisfaction, that, you know, subdues the pain and numbs everything.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to push that button? Or are we going to wait upon God and watch him come through?
Yeah.
So these are things that waiting develops. It tests our resolve and renews our strength, as in our verse. It mm-hmm. renews our strength.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it strength is not built. Our spiritual strength is not built in the gym. It's built in those hours of those tedious hours of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 5 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, or I wrote waiting through tribulations,
mm-hmm.
knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So waiting forms our character as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, time periods of waiting are steeped in contemplation. Right?
Right.
You might be reviewing or revisiting the past. How did I get here? If I just had taken a right at Albuquerque, or if I had zigged when I should have zagged, maybe mm-hmm. such and such or this wouldn't have happened. But we know that we can't change the past, so there's no value in doing that, compulsive obsessing over that.
Mm.
So eventually, if it drives us to contemplate the ways of God, drives us into the scripture,
mm-hmm.
Instead of just sitting there and meditating and trying to empty your mind of all thought, which is, you know, the Eastern ideology and way,
mm-hmm.
It drives us to the scripture and to the foot of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
These are the places where waiting leads us. And these are good places. These are healthy places mm-hmm. to be in our Christian lives.
Mm-hmm.
If all this virtue surrounding waiting, and how then shall we wait?
Mm-hmm.
How should we be waiting? You know, mm-hmm. should we be tearing the sackcloth and ashes, you know, like the kings of Israel, tearing their garment, renting their
mm-hmm.
scripture says, rent your hearts and not your garment.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I contemplated, I said, well, we should embrace waiting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not so much view it as a horrible thing, or a death sentence, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, or God's maniacal little joke mm-hmm. on us. You know, God's just reeling with laughter as we're waiting and wringing our hands and looking at mm-hmm. the clock again and just waiting and waiting. We should embrace waiting and see the healthy elements that I just described are sown into our waiting experience.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it as part of God's design and remembering and understanding that in Genesis, everything that God created, he said was good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not speculating or suggesting that the fall and everything that has transposed from it, the wars, the destruction, the disease, I'm not suggesting that all of that is good, but we do understand that there is an ultimate good that precipitates from all this. You know, it's the phoenix rising out of the ashes. It's the all things work together for good for those who mm-hmm. wait mm-hmm. upon the Lord.
Now we should wait in that. I mean, basically, we can't. God has made everything and declared it all good, but you know, we can't be unfeeling and, you know, just say, "Oh, it's all for good, brother," and
right.
suffering and death or whatever. We Christ showed us to be compassionate and caring. And that these things matter. And, you know, the promise of all things being worked together for good are for, you know, very specific set of people. Those who love God, yeah. called according to his purpose. And,
yes.
You know, before we roll to the end, you know, that's another portion of the waiting game. is God wants us to fulfill our purposes, to fulfill the good works that he's prepared for us. And
Right.
he may give us a period of waiting because we're not getting on board with the purposes that we're supposed to walk into. And so those periods of waiting, where we contemplate and everything, what are we supposed to, you know, what are we supposed to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? you know, focus on him and what we should do for him. You know, this is part of it all. So yeah, I didn't drop there, but
yeah, you just see God saying, "I'm waiting."
Right. We're like, me too. Let's go.
Let's all wait together.
Let's all wait together with patience. And that's the hard part.
And as I've walked through this and I've talked to Tammy Lynn about it, and Tammy Lynn has gone through, geez, I don't know, you know, several changes in the last year. She married me for one, and then she
yeah, that's a big one.
had to stand by her convictions with the COVID thing and, you know, leave a job to find a job. And now she has a part-time thing that's turning into a full-time thing. And it's just like, we talk about our lives and it's like, I guess this is the next thing we're doing, Lord. And, you know, on we go. I've, for myself and ministry, you know, stepping out in all of this, you know, I'm just rewarded, you know, I think it is a reward as Freedom in Christ Ministry gave me the opportunity to start teaching and via Zoom. That was the spring, and I decided to take the guys I taught in the spring and winter and, you know, lead them through a course now in the summer. They've contacted me about doing it again in the fall. That's scheduled. And in the midst of that, one of the people who does a monthly training for the ministry reached out to me to see if I would participate in a nationwide web hosting event. And it's like, when you get these opportunities, you go, oh, I don't know about this. You know, like that, you know, I think I'm comfortable where I am. That's really, I don't know. And it's like, but the Lord, you know, you don't have to answer right away. But as you wait on the Lord and try to discern his will, usually the answers are yes and amen. And, you know, send me. And, you know, you can't say send me. And then God says, okay, I want you to go here. And you go, no, I didn't mean that. I meant like
Afghanistan.
Right. So be careful if you say send me, because the Lord will send something into your life for you to do. And it stretches you. It pulls you in a direction you don't necessarily know. And so there's that. That's the forward moving through progress and the upward call of our purpose and Christ.
Yeah.
Then there's the very simple fact of our lives. That, you know, these things are happening all at once, and all the things that you pointed out, the heartrending stuff of waiting for this, waiting for that, going through the existential stuff of just existing and growing old and realizing that, you know, our purposes should be directed on God, because everything else in this world will get to, we're going to age out. It's time for you to retire. It's time for you to, and you know, we watch people age and grow old. I was just saying to Tammy Lynn last night, you know, we were talking about a friend of ours, and who's very enthusiastic, very faithful, exuberant. And we discovered that he was older than we thought he was. And I won't say the age, but
thank you.
But basically I said, you know, that age isn't going to seem so old to us, in a very short time, you know, you know, when you're young and you hear, you know, when you're young, you hear 30 and you're like, well, that's old. And then you're 40, it's old. You're 50, 60, 70, you know, whatever. But now we have our parents living into their hundreds, and, you know, and the amazing thing about that, waiting through life, is that you get there and you don't feel very much different from when you did when you were 18 years old, you know, and it's just sort of an amazing thing that you watch your children grow up and you go, well, I'm still sort of like the same guy, more or less. I thought, but meanwhile, you've aged, you know, half your life away. It's amazing. And we have to have peace with all of that. And the good thing is we can have that peace when we abide and wait on the Lord and wait with the Lord through these things, you know.
Yeah, these are the dynamics of time that sort of buttress our understanding and bring us to a place of peace with it all. Just have a peace with it all. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said, it's not that... I'll have to paraphrase. I should look this up someday. It's a great quote. It's not that life doesn't make sense or that it does make sense. It's that it almost makes sense. It's like a holographic image that you see it and you want to grasp it, but then your hands go right through it. It makes sense for an instance. It's like I liken it to like a kaleidoscope that you're turning and suddenly an image appears. But then just a small turn, it disappears. So we think we've grasped something for a moment, but then that moment has vanished and moved on and something else has moved in, some distraction, life situation, just your everyday, your daily fare has moved in. And that understanding has just sort of gone up like a fog. It's dissipated. It's on to the next. We're on to the next thing. This waiting with patience is a powerful dynamic. We should wait with patience because patience is a fruit of the spirit. It's something that's cultivated. It's a part of our spiritual life, spiritual walk. The nine fruits of the spirit from Galatians 5:22. This is one of them. Patience is. Which is really genuinely translated long suffering, right? I think is the word.
That sounds right.
Kumbo meaning big, long, long suffering. Life. Solomon concludes that in Ecclesiastes that this life is just long suffering. Basically, it's just get up in the morning and suffer and. Put your head on your suffering pillow at night. It's pretty seems pretty bleak without without purpose.
From the king and queen to the pauper and his wife, everyone wakes up, goes to bed, and eats and sleeps and you know uses the bathroom or whatever. You know all those basic things. Like no matter what your station in life is, there's the basic humanness of our life that is the same. Yeah. It's time and suffering and finding joy and purpose and meaning in life. Today is Solomon's conclusion, man who had everything, said it was vanity of vanities without the Lord. You know, it was all meaningless without God.
You mentioning joy leads us to the next point. We should actually wait with joy, since the joy of the Lord is our strength. Also, according to Nehemiah 8:10, we see a relationship between joy and waiting and joy. When we can actually cultivate waiting to a place, to a point where we're waiting with joy, because when we're waiting, we're not waiting alone.
Right.
We are. Oftentimes more readily in his presence because waiting is often a subdued time. It's a time when nothing's happening or seems to be happening. We know that God is always working, but it's a time when we can really cultivate that presence and that relationship with God. When we do so with joy, it glorifies God because it demonstrates to him that we rejoice in finding that, finding his presence, finding that place that quiet place with him. It's not the end result that's so much, but it's the process, and it's going through it together. Mm-hmm. You know, I often said, even in a fathering and son relationship, there are things in the workshop that I could do alone much more expediently, but I get much greater joy taking the long way around, mm-hmm. doing it with my son, imparting something, enjoying his company, chatting it up along the way. All those things are far more exhilarating than just zipping through the job and getting to the end of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So waiting with joy, this is how we should wait. We should wait with patience, with joy, and actually embrace the experience as part of God's creative order, and something that's good and healthy for us, not not the curse. It's not, you know, it's not God putting us under his thumb and you know, the having a good laugh over it. I say here what Susanna opened with, you know, like everyone else, I hate to wait too. You know, I just, as I opened with, I would rather, just because I feel like I'm making some forward motion, I would rather go 50 miles out of my way in traffic than wait on the highway and just sit there and watch, you know, the fumes come up from the car in front of me. Again, the fold over to Andrew Murray. He writes, do believe that in waiting on God, his greatness and your littleness suit and meet each other most wonderfully. Just bow in emptiness and poverty and utter weakness in humility and meekness, and surrender to his will before his great glory, and be still. As you wait on him, God draws near. He will reveal himself as the God who will mightily fulfill his every promise. And let your heart continually take up the song, blessed are all they that wait for him. And that's from Isaiah 30:18. So I was waiting patiently for this study today, and now see here it is. Now it's concluded, and it's on to the next thing. But I indeed hope we have conveyed something that's life-giving to the hearers, and satisfying to the soul. That we can wait upon the Lord and with joy, and it can be a joyful part of our experience in Christ. Certainly, this is a foreign language to the unbeliever.
Right. So, just in conclusion, I'd like to point out your points are excellent in terms of how we should wait patiently and with the Lord and with joy. So that means when we are waiting, we don't, like the Israelites in the wilderness, we don't complain.
Grumble
into that. When you start that narrative, you know, what we have to do. Yeah. We have to remember the Lord and practice gratitude. Be thankful and praise him and thank, you know, that's it. Because this is our human experience. We're going from moment to moment. And yes, we're going to run into these things. But through the application of our faith, we can overcome. So waiting doesn't have to be all that it is. You know, if we think about the Lord, think about the good things we have in life, and use the time productively if you can. You know, to do something, read some scripture. There's Bible apps on your phone. There's different things you can do with the waiting time. Especially instead of giving into that spirit of complaining or whatever. So I just want to point that out, because your points are right there. So we just need to show people how to get there.
Well, I think it's interesting that he ends it with take up a song. So here's the song. Have patience, have patience. Don't be in such a hurry. When you are impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too. and think of all the times when others had to wait on you.
Yeah, you knew that song.
I saw you, Chamberlain, singing it. Yes, I did. That is the dreaded song that I would often threaten. And it was funny that this week passed that I reminded Mother that because we were standing in line waiting for something. She said, I hate to wait. I said, do you want me to sing the song?
I'll sing the song.
But it is true. How many times has God had to wait on us to make that choice?
Yes.
To wait patiently or to accept him or to do what he's asked us to do.
Yes.
Mm. And so therefore we need to wait patiently.
Wait well.
To and wait well.
Yeah.
Well, hallelujah. Lord, close us out, my dear friend.
All right. Lord God, thank you for bringing us together and being patient with us. You waited all that time for us to come to you, and you've led each other, you know, you've led all of us to each other to come around and discuss the good things of God and your word and your wisdom and your ways. And it's through you, Lord, and the contemplation of who you are and the way you teach us to live that we can have peace and joy when we need to wait. And Lord, let us not forget of the good things you've done and how you waited on us for so many years to help us and to guide us and to show us the way. And we thank you so much for leading us here. Lord, we pray for you to bless our church services today, bless the pastors that are preaching, bless the worship teams that are singing, and bless everyone who's serving in the house of the Lord today. To help them be purposeful in whatever they have to do and not to lose patience if they have to wait. Lord, remember, it's with joy that we should come before you, and that when we do that, we know we're in your will. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Well, that's this week's study. We thank Arthur and Susanna for providing it and coming together with us. Last Wednesday, all the throwback episodes of the Zoom sessions are now on YouTube. So any of our many studies from January till today. They are now all on out there in the archives of the MT 24/7 YouTube channel, and all of our studies are on the audio podcast. If you wanted to just listen in to any of them from the beginning, which was back in April, I believe, or March of 2021. There's a lot of stuff out there for you to listen to if you so choose. We thank everyone who might be listening or watching. We do it only with God and to encourage people in their walk, and we thank you for that. With that, we'll end the recording and say God bless you, and we'll see you next week, everyone.
Good night.